If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
I heard this once on a podcast, never put more than 10% of your overall net worth into one deal, right? So think about that when you're investing into a deal. Think about, okay, how much do I want to allocate here?
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Julie Lamb, co-founder and CEO of Good Egg Investments, has been investing in real estate since 2009. During that time, she has focused mostly on buy and hold rentals, private lending, passive investing through real estate syndications, and active multifamily investing. Julie is co-creator of the online courses Real Estate Accelerator and Passive Real Estate Investor Academy, co-host of the Investing for Good podcast, and co-author of the book Investing for Good, How to Build Wealth While Also Making an Impact. Julie, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Sam. Super excited to be here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you on. I'm super excited. You know, the same questions I ask everybody who comes on is, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
So where did I start? So I'll try to keep it short and simple. So getting into real estate was just doing the traditional, you know, going out, getting married and buying a home. And that was kind of how I fell into real estate. I bought in 2009. So it was a great time to get in. And then fast forward about 7 years after that, we started thinking more about how we wanted to scale and go bigger. And I started investing out of state in single family homes, which that was not so much fun and kind of took a long time, right? When you're buying one home by one home by one home, that can take some time. And so I realized that if I really wanted to scale and go bigger, that I needed to get into multifamily. And so I started poking around and asking people, hey, I have some money. I want to invest in commercial real estate. Do you want to partner with me? Super naive, didn't even know what syndication was, had no idea that you could be a passive investor, knew none of that, and came across somebody who is now my partner, longtime partner. I've worked with on many deals, and asked him, I said, hey, you know, do you want to partner on a deal? And he said, well, let's hop on a call and let's talk about what your needs are. And he said that there's an opportunity to be a passive investor or an active. And so when I realized that there was a difference between the two, I said, well, I don't know. Tell me more about being passive, because passive sounds good. And that was kind of how I jumped into the world of commercial real estate, multifamily syndication, was really that first initial conversation and realizing that I could be a passive investor. And so instead of buying one home by one home, I could actually park $50,000 or $100,000 into one deal, an apartment that has many units, not just one or two. Often the ones we were buying were in the 200 unit range, and collect passive income. And that sort of was my foray into doing what I do now at Good Egg Investments, where we help people get into those same exact investments that I had gotten into 4 years ago, which was, how do I get into commercial real estate, but not have to come up with $1 million or $2 million of my own money to buy this apartment building? But how do I get into it in a way that I can leverage other people's networks and their resources and their talents and their skill sets to be able to leverage the returns, the tax benefits, the equity on the back and the cash flow and all of that? And it was because of really that first investment that I did that sort of sparked this excitement in me to want to share these opportunities with other women, other families, everybody. And that's how I got to Good Egg Investments. And that was about almost 3 years ago that we've been doing that. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So how would you define then what you do now? Are you active? Are you passive?
Yes, that's an excellent question.
You're actively passive?
Yeah, actively passive. There you go. Yeah, it's funny because I was actually just thinking about that very thing this morning. You know, 3 years ago, I had left my job to be passive. And then I realized this morning, after looking at my week, this week with full of meetings and podcasts and, you know, all kinds of stuff, we've got a coaching program and all of that, that I sort of traded one job for another. And so I am very active, but I do focus very much on how am I going to build my passive stuff so that at some time in the future, maybe 5, 10 years, I don't know what's going to happen, but maybe in that time frame that I could maybe be passive and not have to do, you know, all the stuff that I'm doing now. But I love it. So it's not even like active to me, but you know, I mean, we were just chatting earlier, you know, offline about real estate, but I love this stuff. So it's not really work for me, but yeah.
Right. And that was going to be my next question is, you know, is it the same as when you were working a job, or is it now you doing your life on purpose?
It is. It's totally doing my life on purpose. And, you know, with that thought, like this morning, I'm like, okay, this week has been nuts, right? Just back to back stuff with kids. So I'm like, okay, you know what? Let me look in the next 2 weeks. When can I find a pocket of time where I can just block that time off and I can have it to myself? So it's life on purpose, but it's also life by design, right? So it's like, I have all this stuff that I get to do. That's a mindset shift too, that I get to do with real estate. And then it's like, I have these pockets of time that I can find and then just block that time and then say, okay, well, I'm going to go for a bike ride, or I'm going to go for a hike, or I'm going to spend the morning with my husband doing a puzzle, drinking coffee. Like that to me has been the biggest value add in my life, to be able to really design my life the way that I want it to be and doing the things that I want to do that are meaningful and impactful for me. And that's been really the freedom that's kind of set me free in all of this. So
that's awesome. So talk to us about the first deal that you guys did. I mean, so you went to this investor friend who was, you know, active in the business and said, hey, I want to get involved. He said, you want to be active or passive? Then, you know, you picked whatever red or blue pill, whichever one it was that you were going to pick. It's probably the wrong analogy, but you made your selection. And then what?
Yeah. So I did that deal, and I just want to back up a little bit too, because I think oftentimes there's a misconception that, you know, people just find a deal, they throw $50,000 into it and it's going to be all good. And that's not what happened, right? There was a good amount of time, I would say about 6 to 8 months of lead time of me discovering syndications and then before I actually invested in one. And so it's really important for anyone who's thinking about maybe becoming an LP, investing in a syndicated deal, to do that education up front. I promise you, I know it's a lot of work, but I promise you in the long run, it's going to pay you dividends down the road, because the last thing you want to do is get into what looks like a good deal on paper with a bad team, or vice versa. The first one is, you know, the worst way to do it, I would say, you know, where you get into a good deal with a bad team, because anything can look good on paper, but if you're working with a bad team, that deal can kind of go south. So spent a lot of time researching first, and did that first deal in December of 2016, which was a little over 4 years ago. That deal actually went full cycle and we sold in March, right before the whole pandemic started to happen. So luckily, and that was my biggest passive investment deal that I had done to date, because I didn't really know. I didn't know. I was like, well, instead of putting the money here, I'm going to just park it here in one deal. Now I know that would be a lesson learned for me, is, and something I would share with your audience, is that, you know, when you get into a deal, always diversify and always think about, I heard this once on a podcast, never put more than 10% of your overall net worth into one deal, right? So think about that when you're investing into a deal. Think about, okay, how much do I want to allocate here? But knock on wood, luckily for us, everything ended up doing fine. But that was that first deal in December of 2016. It was like a 300 unit apartment building in Dallas, Texas. And then, you know, just started doing more after that as a passive, and then started doing active stuff shortly after that as well. So, yeah.
Right. And so you, in that window of, you know, 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
You just spent that time educating yourself.
I did. I basically spent that time building my network, right? Because if you're new to syndication, most people don't know a ton of other people who are also investing in syndication. You don't understand the lingo. You don't know who the players are. You don't know what makes a good market. You don't know what makes a good deal. So I pretty much spent about 6 to 8 months really doing all of that research, trying to understand who are the big players in the space. What is the lingo? What makes a good deal? What makes a good market? What are the average returns, right? Like, so if I saw one deal, an investment summary that said that like the average return on their deals was like 8%, is that too little? Is that too much? And the only way you really know is by jumping on the phone and talking with as many operators as you possibly can to get a good lay of the land. Like, what's the trends? What are you seeing? And then getting on the phone with those people, right? And saying, hey, I noticed your, you know, IRR is really high. Most of the other IRRs I'm seeing are somewhere in the 15% range. Yours is at 20%. You know, why is that? And so really calling them out. And a big clue is, if people don't take the time to tell you the answers, which I have had this, then you have to beware because those people will circle back a week later, not answer your questions, and then say, hey, by the way, are you ready to invest? So those are some of the things that I did.
Right. That's interesting. And why do these operators, why did they give you the time out of the gate? I mean, you know, if you're just calling them up and I know this is not what happened, but this is the summary version, calling them up and saying, hey, you know, I want to learn about syndications. Like, what was the process for making yourself of value to them such that they wanted to also then take the time to kind of teach you along the way?
Yeah. I mean, I think the big value add and the reason most operators want to take the time to talk to you is because you have money to invest in their deals, right? And so that's usually what it is. But I think deeper than that, I think with a good operator, it's because they want the opportunity to get to know you. This is a long-term investment, right? This isn't a 3-month or a 1-year. This is usually anywhere from a 3 to 5 year hold time. So you're going to be, you know, in bed, so to speak, with these people for kind of a long time, you know? And I know for us at Good Egg, we like to know who we're working with. And so we want to take the time to make sure that we're a good fit, not just that they're a good fit for us, but vice versa, that we're a good fit for them. And so really taking that time. And I've had people that I've spoken to that I've unfortunately, you know, and it's a hard conversation to have where I've had to tell them, I don't think we're a good fit, because they could be somebody who makes like $100,000 a year and they have like $300,000 in net worth. And it just $50,000 as a minimum investment, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Going back to what I said earlier, 10% net worth, all of that stuff, you know? So we want to make sure that, hey, what are your goals? What are you trying to do with your money? What goal are you trying to achieve and make sure? Because the last thing you want is somebody to get into a deal and then they say, oh, you know, this isn't the right deal. 3 months later, I need to get out of the deal, which they can. And we have to work with them to get them out of the deal, but it's not an ideal scenario. So I think that's really the reason why people want to take the time. Yeah.
Right. And so what you guys do now is, I mean, I don't know how else to ask this, but is it, I mean, what you guys do now more of a fund of funds model? Is that kind of what you do at Good Egg? Or can you kind of walk us through what was the thought process behind the way you guys structure Good Egg? Yeah, just let's start there.
Yeah. So really everything from the whole model that we have is a partnership. That's essentially what it is. You can kind of think of it as when you're taking down these commercial assets, there are so many things that have to happen. And I jumped into this initially 4 years ago thinking I'm going to go out and buy an apartment building just by myself. Julie Lamb, just her. And I jumped in realizing that, you know, everything from, you know, money all the way to due diligence, to, you know, building broker relationships, to getting the deal under contract, to raising the money, to asset management, to, you know, the whole nine, there's a lot that happens in these deals. And so the way that we kind of work is we work together in a partnership. And the way you can kind of think about it is that there's one general partner or GP entity that holds the interest of many different parties. Most of the time, usually it's not just one person as the general partner. It depends on the deal size, but in these larger deals, most of the time, you'll have anywhere from, you know, 3 to 10 different groups that are in the general partnership that are doing, you know, a little bit of everything, so to speak. Somebody's asset managing, somebody's raising the money, and everybody kind of has a little bit of their, you know, piece in the pie, so to speak, in their responsibilities. And so that's really how it's structured, is that, you know, Good Egg is just one of the 3 to 10 people that comes to the table, performs various responsibilities, not only raising equity, but also due diligence, participating in that, sometimes earnest money deposit, asset management, a myriad of different things that we do. But that's kind of the structure, is that there's usually 3 to 10 different entities within the GP, and we're just one of those entities contributing to the overall acquisition and management of the overall deal.
Gotcha. How did you discover that? And then how did you build out that kind of platform and that way of getting involved?
Yeah. So it was so funny. And this is the importance of networking. Was I was happened to be talking with somebody who was doing the same, was already doing what I wanted them to do. And we were just on the phone. And I think we had met through another colleague or something that said, you two should talk. And we were thinking about like partnering up or whatever. And we had hopped on the phone and he had said, hey, I heard about this structure, this model, you know, it might be something you want to look into. And I'd never heard about it. I didn't know. And I said, well, thank you very much. And made a few other phone calls, talked to a few other people, and then, you know, found an opportunity to become a GP on a deal. And that was like 2017. So, but yeah, networking is so huge. Letting people know what you want to do and hopping on the phone and talking to people and asking also, how can I help you? You know, and I think it's not just one way, hey, come help me, but how can I help you? And it's just kind of a back and forth reciprocal thing. But the more that you can do that, the bigger your network grows, and the bigger, the more it could just be a simple phone call like that, that can kind of change the trajectory of where you're going. So super important network. Yeah.
Right. When that first general partnership you were part of, did that, I guess the lead on that, did they contact you or did you contact them?
I contacted them and I said, hey, I heard about this, you know, this arrangement where, you know, somebody could join the general partnership. You know, I can bring XYZ to the table. It's always important, because if you could just say, hey, I want to join the GP, do you have an opportunity? Most times the operator won't really know what value you can bring them, right? So coming to the table and saying, hey, I'm thinking about wanting to join the general partnership on some of your deals. I like the deals you do. Here are the top three things that I bring to the table that, you know, could help you and your company. Are you interested? Is this something we could talk about? And either they're going to say yes or no, but at least that way they'll know exactly. Sometimes it's just bad timing, but that way they'll just keep you in mind and they'll be like, oh yeah, like, you know, this person brings those three things. Let me keep that in mind for maybe the next deal or, you know, whatever, or maybe the deal that they have, who knows, you know, but yeah.
Right. And I guess that probably works because on a lot of these, because these are really deal specific entities. Like these are really one asset entities, one business plan per asset.
Correct.
Once those assets go full cycle, then, you know, that business is, that's the end of that business. That business's life is over and you're starting over. They're reshuffling the deck of cards and saying, okay, now we can arrange this any way we want. And so, hey, I heard Julie can bring this skill set to the table. And maybe last deal they didn't need that, or maybe they had that gap filled, or maybe they filled it in properly, but now they, you know, you have a shot at actually participating in this project. What are some things as it pertains to that? Have you looked at any deals, seen the partners in the general partnership and not participated because of kind of the, not because there's bad people in it, because you just didn't like the lineup?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I would say that we don't even look at the deals first. We look at the team first. So I never even usually dig into the deal unless we've already solidified the relationship with the team. That's kind of how we do it. And the reason is because, like I was saying earlier, you know, you can have a deal that looks really great, but if you're working with the wrong team, that deal can go south like super quick, you know? So it's all about, for us, it's all about identifying the team, what their track record is, what they're capable of. What is the just relationship? Usually that takes, I spend probably about 6 to 12 months nurturing that relationship before we ever look at a deal together. And so that's like an important thing that I would recommend anybody out there who's looking to be an LP, really build that relationship, really get to know the people that you're going to be working with, understand who they are. If they have a podcast, listen to them. If they will take the time to talk to you on the phone, take that opportunity, get on their newsletter list, you know, take the time to get to know them. But yeah, absolutely. That has happened. And I think it's so important to just make sure that you know who you're working with. And we have passed just because of things like lack of experience, even just little stuff in the relationship. You know, we ask a simple question, they get defensive. Like, you know, if it's like this early on, it's like dating, right? If it's like this now, it's not going to work in 5 years, you know? So it's really important to sort of feel it out and, you know, make sure that you're comfortable, because again, this is a long-term relationship, especially if you're bringing partners to the deal and they're the ones who primarily are asset managing. You got to be pretty comfortable with them. And so a lot of that is, so yes, to answer your question, yeah, we have passed on deals because, you know, we weren't comfortable with working with the team.
That's interesting. That's fascinating. I'd love to hear at some other point in time, I know we're out of time, but love to hear kind of what your metrics are for evaluating those teams. Let's jump in here to the final four if we can. If you were to take everything you know and distill it down to one piece of advice and you're giving it to an aspiring investor, what would that one piece of advice be?
I would say that you have to have perseverance. You got to be committed. You just have to be. And it doesn't matter whether you're buying apartments, whether you're raising money, whether you're flipping homes, whether you're doing short-term rentals, no matter what you're doing in this space, you're going to get curveballs. Every time you're going to get curveballs all the time. It's never going to stop happening. And so the faster you can, you know, just decide, it's in those moments of decision, right, that change your life. And so if you can decide today, if somebody out there is listening and they're thinking, well, I want to get into real estate, it can't just be a desire to get into real estate. It has to be a commitment to want to be successful and persevere even when things get tough. And I would say if you have that, you're gonna make it.
Right. That's awesome. What's one thing you're currently doing to stay on top of your game?
One thing I'm currently doing is stay on top of my game. I do a morning routine. That's something that I do every morning. I get up, I do some yoga, I do some journaling, I do some like visualization. So I picture my day just being so amazing. And I erase the fear, I erase the worry, I erase the doubt, and I welcome in a lot of positive energy. And that is something that I've been doing for a couple of years now since I've gotten to real estate. Real estate people are pretty interesting people that way. And learn that from somebody else. The miracle morning is what it's called, kind of combined with Tony Robbins' priming exercise. But yeah, doing that and just finding time and space for quiet time. That was something that I didn't do earlier on back when we were first starting to build Good Egg. I was just work all the time and never really put importance on finding quiet time. And I can tell you that finding quiet time pays dividends down the road and in your business. So if anyone out there is working really hard and they're feeling like they're on a hamster wheel, I promise you, you know, schedule in an hour or two of time a week that just allows you to sit and do nothing and it'll pay you back more than you know.
Right. That's fantastic. When it comes to giving back, what's one thing you're doing to make the world a better place?
Yeah. So one of the things that we're going to be doing this year that I'm so excited about that we're in a place to finally do this, it's something we've wanted to do for a long time, but we're going to start attaching a charity to every deal that we bring to the table. And these charities that we'll be picking are ones that our investors have suggested. So we sent out a survey earlier this year, letting our investors know that, fill out a form, what charities do you care about? What are you passionate about and why? We're going to look at that list and pick a few. And when we bring a deal, we're going to attach a charity that will benefit financially from that deal. And that's something that goes along with our investing for good tagline and everything that we love to do at Good Egg. So yeah.
That's fantastic. Julie, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, how should they do that?
Yeah, well, you can go to our website, goodegginvestments.com, or you can shoot me an email, julie@goodegginvestments.com. Always happy to talk about real estate, and any friend of Sam's is a friend of mine, so happy to chat.
Awesome. Thank you, Julie. Certainly appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.